Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NASCAR Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Drivers, start your
strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Hello, welcome in to the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. I'm not Rod Villagomez. I am actually Cody Zeeb. Rod, unfortunately, had some army commitments, so we thank him for his service. He's out busy doing that. So I am lucky enough to be joined today by Matt Seltz at The Seltz Man on Twitter. He's a three-time FSWA Racing Writer of the Year and co-host of the Fantasy Alarm NASCAR DFS podcast. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the service there, Rod.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to him. So, yeah, I'm going to be joined today by Matt. Sorry to everyone. We're a little behind schedule, but I'm going to crank some shows out here over the next couple of days and get everybody caught up on all the picks. Man, the rain out last week really threw a wrench in everything. Odds came late. And then, we had a softball injury last night for my daughter. Luckily, she's okay, but fun ER trip. So that was great. And then Rod's army stuff. So, a little bit late, but better late than never. We still got a good show for you today. Luckily, nothing's happened in the NASCAR world this week. Obviously, yeah, we'll jump right into the news here. So Chase Elliott, we talked about this. Rod and I talked about this on the recap show Monday night. I said I didn't think that NASCAR would suspend him. Rod said he thought they would. Rod was correct. I was wrong. And I think that they did make the right call. They did suspend Chase Elliott for a race. And so again, we kind of talked about it and how it looked like it was probably intentional. They quickly ruled that it was intentional. Hendrick is not appealing that. So Chase Elliott will serve that suspension this weekend at, the race for Gateway. So filling in for him, it's going to be Corey LaJoie, something I was calling for on this podcast back originally when Chase Elliott got hurt. Love to see Corey LaJoie. For all you YouTube regulars, got my Corey LaJoie picture right here. But love to see Corey LaJoie getting an opportunity in the Hendrick number 9 car. And the Carson Hocevar actually going to get his first career start in the 7 to replace Corey LaJoie. So, awesome all around there. Matt, what do you think, about the Chase Elliott suspension, about Corey LaJoie getting his first chance in a Hendrick car?
Yeah. I think they had no choice but to suspend him. The SMT data basically showed he turned dead left and hooked him the car was driving straight after it hit the wall, so it wasn't really a suspension issue or a toe link. Then he said on the radio that he intentionally did, like, basically he had had enough of Hamlin putting him in the wall twice in five laps.
Probably didn't help his case.
And then the post-race interview, he kind of tried very hard not to say the quiet part out loud, a little too hard. And then Denny, like, you can't not suspend the most popular driver in the sport for the same thing you suspended the guy who's most hated for last year, right? Like,
right.
It kind of put NASCAR in a bind. So I agree with it. I thought it was intentional. In live action, it looked a lot closer, like maybe Keselowski had gotten there. But then on the replay, you see he wasn't even close, and Chase just hooked him. So kind of got to do it. I think it's interesting that it happened at a week in which Xfinity is separated from the rest of the time. Otherwise, you'd have Josh Berry in for Chase.
Yep.
But because Josh Berry is across the country and they really don't want to pull an AJ Allmendinger from last year where he raced to Portland and then flew overnight to Gateway with no practice and raced, they're not going to do that to Josh Berry. So, look, I love seeing LaJoy in a top flight car. Let's see what he can do. And then we'll see if he stays at Spire or where that goes. I don't know what his contract situation is.
But. Yeah, I'm not sure either. But, I mean, it's going to be – and, yeah, that's a good point as far as Xfinity's racing in Portland. These guys are in St. Louis. We saw Ben Rhodes crash whatever car he was warming up for somebody last year. I don't remember which car did he –
He
walled somebody it, like, was racing both of them. Yeah.
It was really –
One thing he wasn't supposed to do, he did, and ended badly. But, yeah, so obviously with Barry being that far away, I think that was a good decision to move LaJoy over. I'm excited for the opportunity, obviously. I'm the president of the Corey LaJoy fan club. We like to joke on this podcast because I love the guy. So great to see him get the opportunity. Again, like you said, I think NASCAR did the right thing in doing that. So. So those will be the driver changes for this week. There was also a major penalty issued yesterday. Chase Briscoe and the number 14 team were issued an L3 level penalty for counterfeiting a next-gen part. Penalty is a loss of 120 driver and owner points. Does Chase Briscoe even have 120 points?
I don't know.
25 NASCAR playoff points. That is, woof, that is
crushing.
Yes. Six race crew chief suspension. That's a long suspension and $250,000 fine. So NASCAR not fucking around on this. They said, do not counterfeit these parts. They've told the teams time and time again. And they did it. Stuart Haas says they're not even going to appeal this. So that's a pretty blatant admission of guilt, in my opinion. we both tweeted something very similar, and I've had a lot of words about Chase Briscoe on this podcast this year, but, I don't know how you could have been cheating and still only beating BJ McLeod by three spots every week, but very interesting thing going on there.
Yeah, they should have looked at Chad Knaus's notebook before they cheated, because at least when he cheated, they won.
Yeah, if you're going to cheat, at least get something out of it. Like,
at least it was worth it, because they won, and then he'd say, see you in 4 weeks. Bye. Yeah,
exactly. Two seconds
off the pace. And having a theoretical part that was supposed to help downforce, I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever swing they were taking there went the wrong direction. I guess it's better to try it on the 14 than on the 4. But, 25 playoff points, they're not messing around as far as that goes. And if Briscoe were to make the playoffs, obviously probably a long shot at this point. That's going to be crippling in the playoff run.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from, I think it was PJ Walsh, that said it was either going to take, at this pace, 5 years for Briscoe to make up the 120 points at the pace he's currently at. So
that's probably pretty close, yes.
That's a hefty penalty.
That is. Okay, let's take an ad break real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this. We're brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is supported I should try that again. I'm obviously Rod usually does these ad reads, so you guys are gonna have to bear with me. But this episode is supported by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on your favorite bet if you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even hedge. It says in parentheses, gross, because of course on the SGPN network, our motto is let it ride. But if you got a hedge, you got a hedge, right? Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark. They charge zero interest. Do you know of any way you can access money to place your favorite bets without paying any interest? Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. So that's pretty much, I think, the news portion of things. Obviously, a lot of news in that small window. But now we're going to head to Worldwide Technologies Raceway, also known as Gateway, also known as St. Louis. It's actually in Illinois, but it's right across the river. So it's, all those fun things. This is an interesting track. It's hard to compare this really to any other tracks on the circuit. It's 1.250 miles, so 1.25 miles, which is not obviously your full intermediate at 1.5, but it's not a short track either at 1 mile. It's kind of got the Darlington shape to it where, turns 3 and 4, a little wider than turns 1 and 2. I don't know. As far as, and NASCAR's only come here, the Truck Series has been coming here for a few years, but the Cup Series has only been here one time last season. Big surprise, first time at a track. Joey Logano wins the race. Nobody's shocked by that, but that's how it works. So what are you looking at when you're going into handicapping at a race at a track like this, Matt?
So obviously we can't base a whole lot off of last year. We can base a little bit, right? I will be talking about that race later when we're giving our picks here. But I don't put full stock in it, right? We had a weird field. It's the first time anybody's been there. It was the first time in a next gen car. It was only like the fourth or fifth technically intermediate track in the next gen car. But what I'm going off of is similar track. So to me, I feel like Phoenix is similar. I feel like Richmond is similar. New Hampshire comes up because it's a flat 1 mile. I'm not really that big into comping it to Darlington, even though they're roughly the same length and layout, right? Darlington's a little longer at 1.363 miles or whatever the heck it is. But the tire wear here is nothing compared to Darlington. So that to me is out. And Goodyear is bringing the same tires this week as it brought to Richmond and Phoenix and New Hampshire. So if they're bringing the same ones, I'm going to use those tracks because that's what they feel it's similar to. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. We can kind of toss Martinsville in there because it's tough to pass, and it was tough to pass here last year. It's mainly those three is what I'm looking at this week.
Yeah, I think that those are good ones to look at. It is really, really hard to look at last year's race here. You can take some from it, but like you said, that was still early on in the next gen. First time we'd ever been to this track. At that point, tires were blowing out like religiously every 36 yes. laps. And so
that's it twice in practice.
Yes, exactly. And so that really made it hard. And so I think that some stuff can be taken from that, but definitely not putting full stock into that. And then obviously there's no track history past that. If you wanted to dig into some guys in the Truck Series there, but I'm not
trucks
going.
Are so different from, Kevin Harvick raced trucks here like 20 years ago. Right. So like, that's not even,
it's not
four generations of trucks past
right.
what Harvick did. So,
yeah. I wouldn't look into that. I definitely didn't. I'm mostly just leaning on what have you done for me lately? Again, kind of a big momentum believer. And I think that with it being such a hard track to comp, I'm just kind of looking back over what guys have done recently, and I'm going to kind of use that as far as how I'm handicapping this race, which should be a lot of fun.
I will toss in one other thing that's going to sound a little weird, but I do like looking at road courses for these shorter tracks because road courses aren't really about turning right or left. They're about rhythm, right? If you can get in a rhythm, you can annihilate a road course. Just ask Chase – not this week because he's out, right? But Truex or Allmendinger, it's about rhythm. And I feel like these shorter tracks, if you can hit your braking points, you can get in a rhythm and you can start clicking off laps and picking up pace. So it sounds a little weird. I'm not going like, oh, these guys dominate road courses. They're going to be great at a weird short track. It's just another little wrinkle you can.
No, I think that's a great point. And I do a lot of times when we're going to like Martinsville, look at that, because it is so much more about braking at a track like that. You know, you're not relying on speed so much. And so I think that is a good point, maybe to a little bit of a lesser degree here, but still is something you definitely could weigh in. You have anything else as far as coming up on this race or anything else you're going to look at? Or are you ready to jump into the bets?
I feel like pit crews are so like inconsistent for the most part that it's hard to really like. Except they won't make a
24 car.
Yeah, the 24 car is pretty.
Man, that pit crew. I mean, I know that.
Well, the question is, did they overwork themselves on Monday having to?
True.
Do...
Yeah, that's man. Half that
a
was
race, a whole race and a half a race.
Like... Yeah, that's a lot of stops in a day on a short week, especially. That's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, they were. I mean, basically perfect all day long. I know that pit stall helped them, but still, it. You got to be good even with the pit stall there, and they definitely were really good. So, okay, let's take another break, and then we'll jump into the bets. Two new free contests from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're all about free here. We're all about contests here. We've got the Hamlin Mania bracket. We'll update later in the week here. And now we have an NBA Finals and a Stanley Cup Final contest. You can enter exclusively on the SGPN app. There's series props and game props. You're just picking your props. $100 gift SGPN gift card up for grabs for each contest. Download the app and enter today. Of course, once you get that, you can get all of your NASCAR gambling podcast gear, because that's what you should be spending your gift cards on for the store. So, anyways.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, on to some bets. So if you want to go ahead and lead off, Matt, what's your first bet for the weekend?
Well, as an aside, I totally forgot about the Hamlin bracket until you just brought it up. And nobody's winning.
Oh, no.
Because Chase so, being suspended is...
Right. Well, and I think
unless
he's
you
actually,
didn't pick Chase to advance out of...
Right. I think he was already out, too. So we started ours a week before Denny started his. But our final is Ryan Blaney versus Brad Keselowski. Nobody ever would have seen that coming. Like, I'm pretty sure
going
that...
a decent way, but I can't fully remember. I think it ended with Chase and somebody at a road course, and then you know I haven't checked it because I'm pretty sure I'm dead in the water.
But neither the one we did nor the one Denny did, I don't think we're anywhere close. No. So
of head-to-heads, I'm gonna start it off with a head-to-head here. I'm taking Harvick over Chastain -115 on DraftKings. Look, Chastain has something coming to him at some point. We all know that, right? I think they're saving it for the playoffs. But even if we put that aside, Harvick has just been better at this style of track than Chastain in the next-gen car. If we look at just this year, he's outraced him at similar tracks like Phoenix and Richmond and Martinsville. If you look at the last eight similar races, Harvick has 7 top 6 finishes. That's pretty hard. I don't see Chastain finishing that high, so I'm going to go with Harvick in that matchup.
Yeah, I like this big Harvick bettors on the show. We talk about Harvick nonstop. This is just a consistency thing for me. We saw Chastain this past week. Absolutely. Like, was he even in the race? Nobody knows, which is odd thing to say about Chastain, right? He was never mentioned, which maybe that was his goal, but just the fact that they missed that much and never really got that car to where it had any speed. Harvick week in, week out is good. Maybe the pieces that are on the 14 are working better for the 4 car. Who knows? We'll see. But no, he's always, whenever you bring up the struggles of Stuart Haas, whenever you bring up the issues with Ford, Harvick is always the exception to that rule.
Right.
He's good no matter what. They've got their shit figured out, and he knows what he's doing. And so, yeah, this is just a case of Who do you trust more? I fully back you on taking Harvick over Chastain. I'm also, in my first head-to-head, going to fade Chastain. I'm taking Martin Truex over him, minus 120. This is over on Superbook. And again, it's basically the same thing, but if you look here lately and what Martin Truex has been doing, he has been really good. Third place last week at Charlotte. Surprisingly, didn't lead any laps, but he had one of the fastest cars throughout the entire day. Ended up finishing 31st at Darlington, but was very good early on before that. Led 145 laps. He led 79 laps at Kansas, where he finished in eighth. He won the Dover race a couple of weeks ago. He led 68 there. So it's been a solid case of strong runs for Truex. The Gibbs cars looked very good here last year. Toyota looked good as well, just in general. So I really do like Truex this week. And then Ross, again, you go back 22nd last week at Charlotte. Again, just a non-factor. 29th at Darlington recently. He did have a fifth at Kansas and a second at Dover, so I will toss that out there. But again, it's since then, since all this other stuff has happened, obviously the punch was at Kansas, right? And then the comments came after that, and that's where things have seemed to have started to trail off a little bit. Then you go back to last year. Ross finished eighth here, so he had a decent day, and Truex was sixth. So Truex did oust him just a little bit. But, yeah, I really like Truex in this matchup. So give me Martin Truex over Ross Chastain, minus 120 over on Superbook.
Wasn't this the race where Hamlin and Chase double-teamed Chastain?
I think so, yeah.
Down the backstretch multiple times. Like
I believe that both of them got
like he almost wound up on the infield grass to avoid.
Yes, because both of them were very freshly pissed off at him. And yes, they double teamed to ruin Ross's day, which that's going to be something that's always going to be hanging out there. If you ever want to bet on Chastain, like, yeah, maybe people are going to wait for the playoffs. But if a guy like Noah Gragson gets a shot soon, why wouldn't he take it? He doesn't care what happens later on. Like, he's going to get that payback when he can. And there's nobody out there seems to like the guy. So.
Yeah, my other concern is the conversation that Trackhouse had with him about dialing down his aggressiveness. Yes. I think that's taken away some of his mojo. Like, I 100%. Think he needs that aggression to be as fast as he was, right? And if you tell somebody, hey, you know, don't go run so fast. Okay, well, I'm only going to finish fifth now instead of competing for wins because I don't want to step on any toes.
Right. Like, well, I mean, maybe you haven't, but I know personally, if somebody tells me not to do something, like, or they're like, you're doing too much, and then I just go completely the opposite. I'm like, fine, you want me to do that? I'm going to go totally opposite and just take it easy and send a message, basically. So maybe that's something we're going to see from Ross here going forward. And maybe that's what we saw last week. Like, fine, you want me to be aggressive? I'll go run 22nd. I've done it before. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you got next for us?
So my second one, I'm going with a prop here. I'm going with Christopher Bell with a top five finish. We're getting plus 165 on this at BetMGM, which is a pretty nice return. Yes, it's a top five, but it's Christopher Bell. The guy just keeps finishing in the top 10 seemingly every week. If we're looking back at those similar races, which again, incorporate Gateway here last year, Richmond, New Hampshire, Phoenix, whatnot. Bell's been the most consistent Toyota in that span. He has top six finishes in that span. And look, he's been good again this year. Like, people don't talk about him a whole lot, but his performance is showing, right? He just keeps going out there, getting laps, challenging for wins. And he started well here last year. Granted, he finished ninth here last year, but he started third. They actually had qualifying. So he showed speed. I think it was a little bit of a strategy thing, and then he clawed his way back up into the top 10. But Toyotas are fast on the short tracks, so I'm going with the most consistent one to net me a pretty nice return on a top five finish.
Yeah, I like it. I was so big on Bell last week, and he had the fastest car all day long.
I can't tell if my cat likes it or not, by the way.
It sounds like the cat's agreeing. I think the cat's all in on Christopher Bell this weekend. So, but no, I love Christopher Bell. He's been super fast and he's been consistent. And last week was a little different. He was fast right from the get-go, but a lot of times he kind of lurks in wait and works on that car and gets up front near the end. And that's what you need for the top five. So I feel like there's really good value on that. I'm going to stick with another head-to-head. I'm going to fade Chase Briscoe after all your talk about how you're going to compare this to short flat tracks. That scares me a little bit, but,
I mean, no, that's okay. He has been good at Phoenix, but
he has been good at Phoenix, yes, and he's been good at the short flat track. Yeah. I feel like this is just big enough to hit for him to not be good. And Brad Keselowski, I mean, we've talked about it a lot lately. RFK's really figured their shit out. They've really looked a lot better. The finishes are still a little up and down for Brad. He's been having the good runs each week. Need to get a little bit better finishes, but Brisk No, as we've been calling him lately, like, he has just been not very good for the most part overall. So you go back and you look at what Briscoe's done here lately. 20th at Charlotte, 17th at Darlington, 32nd at Kansas. I was at that Kansas race. That reminded me of watching, like, that double zero, or was it double zero or 02 car, the Starcom car?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where it's just, like, barely running in the back. Like, they drop the green flag, and, like, by the time he gets to the start-finish line, everybody's in, like, turn three already. It was, like, he was so slow all day long.
Yep.
And then 36th at Dover. And then four in a row, four races in a row, Brad Keselowski has finished better than Chase Briscoe. Briscoe actually started on the pole here last year, but ended up with only a 24th place finish.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not even sure he led a lap.
No, I don't think he did.
I think he got eaten up in like turn two.
Yeah, it didn't take long, and he was not up front. Just a guy, again, he's a good race car driver. We've seen what he can do in the Xfinity series, and even last season, I mean, we saw some flashes from him. I know some guys were very high going into him this year, but it has not been there. And with Brad, we've really seen some upside lately. A fourth place finish at Darlington, an eighth place finish at Dover, even 19th last week at Charlotte, 19th at Kansas. Those aren't horrible finishes. And honestly, 19th will probably win this head-to-head for you. So give me Brad Keselowski over Chase Brisk. No, at minus 110. Also, if Briscoe's been that slow cheating, imagine how slow he's going to be not cheating.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if he's faster now?
Oh, it'd be fun. It'd be funny. I mean, it wouldn't be funny for the bets, but like, he's like the fastest car out there all of a sudden. Like, whatever they were trying was just that bad.
just unbelievable. I can't disagree with your reasoning there. This is why we like head-to-heads, right? Keselowski doesn't necessarily have to get that great of a finish. All he's got to do is, heck, if they both wreck, as long as Keselowski wrecks the second,
he just has to slide farther, basically. That's
right.
That's exactly. Always the great thing about head-to-heads. Yeah, and I mean, again, Keselowski can have a shit day, and it's, there goes my top 10, there goes my top 5, I needed him to win. Like, he could still finish 25th and easily be beating Briscoe. So that's what I love about head-to-heads.
Again, I can't tell.
I think the cat's digging it. I think the cat is in full agreement.
I think so.
That's what I'm going to go with.
I'm going to go with my next one is a Bowman top 10. When he's been in the car, he's been quick at these tracks. Hendrick Motorsports has these tracks figured out, right? Obviously, they ran well at Richmond. They ran well at Phoenix. Bowman has a P9 at Phoenix, a P8 at Richmond, a P11 at Martinsville this year. If you look back at the similar races, he's got a top 10 in half of those. He looked pretty good in the Coke 600 last week. I had concerns about, would his back hold up? Would he tire out coming, his first race back from what we heard was a fractured back, I believe. And it's the longest race of the year. He said he felt fine. So I don't really have a whole lot of concerns here. Bowman top 10. The odds on that, by the way, are plus 110 over at Caesars. So we're getting better than even money, which I'll take. And he's pulled this off half the times in the comparable tracks. So I don't have a problem with this with these odds here at all.
Yeah, no, 100%. I like this. Bowman, again, just being slept on. He's 30-1 to win this race on Caesars. I don't know that I'm going to take that, but just the fact that we've talked about it all season, obviously not the last couple weeks when he's missed, but he's just consistently underrated. He's still in a Hendrick car. We know how fast those cars are. All you're asking for right here is to beat a quarter of the field in a Hendrick car. He comes back last week. I had shared the same concerns you did. The back, would it hold up for 600 miles? He had a good run and had a nice solid day. And he can do that again. Again, like you said, on these types of tracks, he's good at, and he's very consistent driver. So yeah, again, I'm full agreement with you here. And so I like your Bowman top 10 play. I'm going to stick with my trend of fading Brisk. No, I like this one even better. I don't even understand how this is a matchup, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This is absolutely insane. This one's over on Superbook. Bubba Wallace over Chase Briscoe, -110. We're going to be revisiting this one in a little bit as my edge boost double down of the day, by the way. Just a little spoiler for you. But, I mean, I literally, on my notes I have written down here, I wrote LMAO. Like, I laughed so hard when I saw this. Like, I thought it was a mistake or so. I mean, I don't understand how these two guys are matched up. Bubba has been on an incredible run of really good finishes, strong, solid days. He was fourth at Charlotte. He finished second even in the All-Star race. I know that doesn't count, but it was still a good finish for him there. Fifth place at Darlington, fourth place at Kansas, 12th place at Dover. Before that, he almost won at Talladega even, a ninth place at Martinsville, 12th place at Bristol Dirt. Like, he has been on an absolute roll. And Briscoe, again, looks, he's like beating BJ McLeod and JJ Yaley by three spots. I don't understand why these guys are even matched up. So give me Bubba Wallace over Chase Briscoe. This might be one of the biggest bets I've placed in a while. This one absolutely floors me that it's even.
It doesn't make it. The only thing that I can think of is it's the trendy bet because Briscoe's in the news and people like to hate on Bubba. So they get some money coming in, I guess, but it's look, a couple of weeks ago I wrote an article for PicksWise, a betting piece that I put out there each week, and I had to take a head-to-head that I think it was Austin Dillon and maybe Stenhouse or something, where the odds were basically telling you that they favored one of them in all of the outright winner, the top five, even top three, top tens, and yet the other guy was the shorter odds in the matchup. And I could not figure out for the life of me why that would be the case, because if you're telling me that there's a better chance he finishes all of these other places better than the other guy, why would, in a head-to-head where that literally doesn't matter, why would the other guy be favored?
And it's so weird because I've seen that with Kevin Harvick so many times this year too. Like, sometimes he's the highest priced driver for a top 10, even though he'll be seventh or eighth on the odds board. And then, like, and he's still matched up in head-to-heads where guys are plus money in the and it's like, you know, he's going to come out and get this solid finish. That's why you have it priced up so well. It is crazy to see those discrepancies sometimes.
Yeah, Bubba's just too good. Let's not forget that the 45 car finished third here last year. Obviously, that's not Bubba's car. It was Kurt that was driving it, but it tells you that 2311 had it figured out from the jump.
Yeah. And I mean, 2311 last week, their first time ever having both guys finish in the top five. They've been looking a lot better lately. And again,
why didn't they put the Jumpman scheme on the 23? I mean, I get the Dr. Pepper thing, but like, why are you revisiting the Wizards days instead of like everything else for Jordan? I don't.
Yeah, I think that is just a sponsorship thing, because I think Bubba brings more to the table than Reddick does.
I mean, but if still, you're the team owner,
throw Dr. Pepper on the 45 and put the Jumpman on the 23. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. It was a sick paint scheme, just the wrong number.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. I saw that Kurt Busch one I was at Kansas race last spring and saw that one and got to go to Victory Lane with it. That was so beautiful. Those Jumpman cars, they have been doing a killer job.
So you want me to say my next one here?
Yeah, go on to your next one.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about how this guy won here last year. We're going Logano for a top five. It's +150 at BetMGM. Look, I'll be the first one to admit it, that I haven't been able to peg Logano correctly in about 2 years. So,
I've said it multiple times, the hardest driver in the entire field to bet on every week is Joey Logano.
Yeah, when you expect him to do well, probably not. So, we'll stop going down that line of thinking for this bet. Obviously, we need him to do well top five, but he did have a P2 at Martinsville this year. He had a P7 at Richmond, P11 at Phoenix. Those are all pretty reasonable, right? Obviously, only one top five in those three, but he did win here last year, so he had it figured out. And again, we're going to go back to the similar tracks. He's got five top tens in the last eight similar races, four top sixes. That's enough for me. When we least expect it, Logano tends to show up, and I just feel like this is one of those races where everybody's looking at his teammate who just ended his 59 race winless streak, and Logano's just going to show up and be Mr. Consistent on a short track I don't know. It's just a thing with him. Like, he shows up to some of these weird tracks and all of a sudden he does well.
He got upstaged by the Indy 500 with Joseph Newgarden and Ryan Blaney last week.
Yep.
Time to reassert his dominance, right? I have no argument here because it's hard to argue against Logano ever. He's so inconsistent, but at plus 150, he's either going to run top five or he's going to be 25th. Like, yes. There's almost no in between with the guys.
Like, so. It may be the Dover setup, which would be terrible.
Right. Yeah. And that's
it may be Martinsville and it may challenge for the win. Like, yeah. It's one of those.
Yeah. It'll be one of the two. So for plus money, I do like it. Next up, head to head wise for me, I'm going to take Ricky Stenhouse Jr. over Eric Jones, minus 130 on Caesars. This one's a little bit juiced up, but like we always say, you only pay the juice if you lose. Again, this is one. Why is this a head-to-head? I mean, I get that Eric Jones finished seventh here last year. I understand that. Maybe that's why this is that way. But other than that, what have you seen out of anything from the Legacy camp anytime lately that makes you say...
Except for all three of their cars breaking at Charlotte last week.
Supposedly, quote-unquote, two of the cars hit the same piece of debris and had the same issue. I think that's not exactly true, but whatever.
Yeah, how did it go through the radiator? What is it, magic bullet?
Went through the radiator, back onto the track, and then through the radiator of the other car. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. But
yeah,
I mean, and since Ricky won the Daytona 500, like we've talked about that multiple times as well, he hadn't had a top 10 finish since last year's Coke 600 when he won the Daytona 500. But winning the Daytona 500, and we saw this a couple years ago with McDowell, like, puts a spark into a team like that, brings in extra money, brings in extra sponsorship, usually brings in extra manufacturer support. He's basically locked into the playoffs, right? If we don't get too many winners. And so they're looking forward to that. And so this team has been getting a lot of backup. You have to go all the way back to Las Vegas on March 3rd for the last time that Eric Jones beat Ricky Stenhouse on a quote-unquote true oval. I'm not counting road courses. Although you made a case that maybe we should. And I'm not counting super speedways because anything can happen in those. But any other oval track, mile and a half, short track, big track, little track, doesn't matter. Stenhouse has beat Eric Jones every time since Las Vegas. And even then, they were only a couple of spots apart. And Ricky's been having really good runs lately. A seventh place finish last week at Charlotte. He was 13th the week before at Darlington. 12th place at Kansas. 13th place before that at Dover. And then Eric Jones, again, he finished seventh here last year. I get it. There was something in that Legacy car, specifically his car last year, where he looked really good early on in the season. He was having great runs. That's not been repeated this season.
I mean, obviously Jones won last year in that car.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, I mean, he won at Darlington last year. Right. And then this year at Darlington ended up in 25th, like was never, you know, never competitive or anything. And so it's a weird dynamic how it's shifted. I think maybe some of the leadership changes up top. Obviously, they've announced they're leaving Chevy, going to Toyota. How that's affecting things, who knows? But, lately, 32nd last week, again, he had problems. All three Legacy cars did. 25th at Darlington. He had a 21st at Kansas. A 16th place at Dover, his best oval finish of the entire season, 16th. And then he was 31st the week before at Martins, or the last oval before at Martinsville. So it's just... Again, 16th has been his best oval finish on the season outside of super speedways, outside of road courses. And that nothing about that gives me any confidence in Eric Jones. And Stenhouse has continued to show that he's a good driver. He's not been living up to the Recce Spinhouse thing as of late. Got into it a little bit with Kyle Busch last week. They were definitely beating and banging a little bit. But other than that, he still ended up with a good finish. So he's been very consistent. Jones is not. This is another one that almost baffles me that this is even a head-to-head. So Stenhouse over Jones, minus 130 over on Caesars. Really, really liking this one.
Yeah, hard to argue against that. This next one for me, we're going to go a little longer here.
This is Matt's playing the part of Rod Villagomez over there because Rod's a big AJ Allmendinger guy.
So I mentioned a little bit how road courses – could play in here, right, with rhythm driving and whatnot. We talked about how Ben Rhodes wrecked this guy's car in practice. They made unapproved adjustments. He showed up the night, like, flew red-eye from Portland to St. Louis, showed up with no practice, started 35th on a track you can't pass that he'd never raced on, and finished top 10. It's AJ Allmendinger, top 10 plus 750 at Caesars. Look, I will not lie, this is the riskiest prop I'm going to give out, okay? Because the colleague cars don't look anything like they did last year, okay? They haven't had the consistent speed. Allmendinger can show up and just wheel a car to a better finish than you think, because the guy's got a ton of experience. He did, again, finish 10th here last year in this same car. It's not like it was the different colleague car. It was the same car. And now this year, he's actually going to get practice, and he knows what he's looking for based on last year. I'll take a shot. Look, we're not putting a whole unit on this. We're putting parts of a unit on this, obviously. But plus 750 for a top 10, it's pretty nice odds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. At the odds you're getting it at, I can't make an argument against
that. I would like to see him more at the ones you're about to give out for one of them. But
yeah, that'd be real nice. Again, these are long shot bets for a reason. But to finish top 10, you have to beat less than a quarter of the field. Right. And so it's possible if we end up with a high attrition race, if there is tire issues, whatever, we could potentially see that. So I definitely don't think it's a bad bet. Again, just to throw a little sprinkle, a little pizza bet on that. And so, yeah, the top 10 plus 750, I think that's in the right area. I've got a pair of top 10s that I like as well. I'm going to take Chris Buescher plus 140 over on, I think this was on Caesars. I forgot to write down where it was at, but we're going to go with Caesars anyways. Last week at Charlotte, an eighth place finish for him, one stage two. There was a little bit of strategy to get him out front, but once he was out front, held on to it, was able to win the stage. I think that was his first stage win since 2017, I believe is what they had said.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yep, he had a 10th place finish at Darlington. So that's already a couple of 10 place finishes in a row. 17th at Kansas, that's not too far out of the top 10. Ninth place at Dover, even at a third place at Talladega. Again, super speedway, you can't factor it too much into there, but that goes into his long run of good races here. A 14th place at Martinsville. So that's the last six races, hasn't finished worse than 17th. You're getting plus money for him to be in the top 10. Ford won here last year. The RFK team, again, continues to just show more and more speed, more and more consistency out of that team. I've already made an argument for Brad. I like Buescher as well. Then also my long shot, I went a little farther. And thanks to Matt for pointing this out to me. I had it at 12-1. He found a line at 14-1 over on Caesars. Todd Gilliland, top 10 finish. Again, this is just, it's throwing it out there because something could happen. Is he going to be one of the top 10 fastest cars on the day? Probably not, of course, right?
Maybe. I don't know, man. Dean Smith had that car moving in Charlotte last week, and Gilliland and the crappy Rick Ware was nowhere to be found. So
yeah, and that's part of my argument. So yeah. Gilliland has got seven top 15 finishes this season. While he's been in that 38 car, and we've been saying, man, Gilliland just getting the most out of this 38 car, can get the most out of this 38 car. Then Zane Smith steps in and he's getting the most out of it too. So this team might actually not be that bad. He's got a pretty decent car. He had an 11th place finish at Darlington. And he's been running really good. Again, the way Zane Smith drove that car last week, that instills so much more confidence in how deep this car is. And Gilliland, a pretty decent road course guy. So if you want to throw that factor in there, the rhythm. And again, he's racing for his job, right? He's already lost that ride for part of this season.
Yep.
And he's still been, you know, he's pieced it together. He's gotten some other rides. He's gotten in front row's other cars so Zane could take that car. He's gotten in the Rick Ware cars, which obviously are towards the bottom. But he's stringing it together. He's racing for his life, racing for his job. And again, the seven top 15 finishes this season. That's impressive. If you're in the top 15, you can get in the top 10. At 14-1, it's a pretty nice payday if you hit a bet like this. So I really like that one.
Yeah, I wish I could find Allmendinger at that. But he's
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's Vegas ain't that stupid.
No, they're not.
They'd go broke at those odds. So
yeah, exactly. Okay, let's take one final break, and then we'll be back with our winning picks. So, again, I mentioned before, we're brought to you by Edge Boost. So they want me to give an Edge Boost double down play of the day. I'm going to give you two because I'm very confident in both of these bets. Bubba Wallace over Chase Briscoe. That's going to be my number one Edge Boost double down play of the day. And then the Stenhouse over Eric Jones, minus 130 on Caesars. Again, go sign up for Edge Boost. It's like basically they're spotting you free money to bet. It's like using credit on like an old school bookie, right? So I think it's great. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. And then Rod's favorite ad read. Always want to say thank you for watching us on YouTube. Again, if you're a YouTube listener, YouTube watcher, I guess, Matt was kind enough to do the YouTube here with me today. So, I'll try not to be as awkward as Rod to get out of this, but I really don't know how to get out of it. But make sure you smash the subscribe button. We do go live a lot of the times for our recaps, Sunday nights, sometimes Monday nights, if depending on the rain. And again, shout out to the old school podcast listeners as well. Make sure you're subscribing, rating, reviewing, all that fun stuff on whatever platform you listen on. All right. We got some winner bets to give out, Matt. What do you got for us?
We do. So I'm going to go with Hamlin. I'm going to start out. These are the shortest one here is Hamlin at plus 1100. That's on DK. So it's 11-1. He's just a grinder at these types of tracks. We can't deny that. Like, he shows up, he tends to have speed. Obviously he's got the mojo going from his, I don't know what, gladiator win over the most popular driver in the sport, as he's going to spin it. I don't know, but he's been good at the style of track in the next gen car. He did have an incident here last year that kind of kept him out of the running, but he did start sixth in that race. So he had speed to start. He was up front. He got kind of caught out by Ross Chastain and then spent the rest of his race trying to make Ross's life a living hell. So look, I'll take the shot on Hamlin at this style track. It's kind of more of a gut feel than anything. No, he hasn't necessarily won at this style of track recently. But he's always in contention. And if you're in contention and you get the right pit stop or a right break or, whatnot, this bet can hit.
Yeah, and we've seen Hamlin has had a fast car a lot lately. These JGR cars, I mean, we've talked about multiple JGR cars throughout this show.
Right, you've got money on Bell and Truex already. So
yeah, didn't find a way to squeeze Gibbs in this week. His top 10 odds keep creeping down. That was a
nice one. I know, it's kind of a disappointment. Like, he's run well, but now you can't get smart
now
money.
You can't. That's why we kept saying early on in the season, you got to take these now before it goes away. Yeah. So unfortunately, we don't have him on here. But yeah, we've talked about all three other guys. So they continue to show speed each week. And 11-1 is a really good price for Hamlin. It usually seems like he's a little bit on the lower on the board. We know how he is at Richmond. I like that bet from you. Who else you got?
So my next one, look, we talked about him a little bit with the top five. So why not go all the way and go get him at 10-1? Logano to win BetMGM, plus 1,000. Again, he won here last year. He's the reigning winner at the track, obviously. We're not completely locking in on that. But you got to feel comfortable, right? It's a confidence boost when you show up to a track that you've done well at, even if you're having an up-and-down year, knowing that your Penske teammate just won the most grueling race of the year, and now you get the same tires that have been on tracks that you've done well at. Well, why not? So we'll go with Logano to win at 10-1. Again, that's over at BetMGM. And if he qualifies well, that might get shorter too. So you might want to go get that while you can, because if he qualifies on the pole on a track where it's been tough to pass, it might get short. He did start seventh here last year and won.
Yeah. No, I like that. Again, Logano, he's either going to be really good or he's going to be really bad, right? You might know early if he's hanging out 25th all day. You're going to be like, well, tear that ticket up and throw it out. But otherwise, he's going to have a strong car. It just seems like he never finds himself in the middle. It's either towards the back or he's right up there in the mix all day.
Yeah, exactly. My third one here, again, we're hanging out in the mid-teens range. We're going 15-1. It's Kevin Harvick, again, over at BetMGM. He's just consistent. And I know the Fords have gotten a lot of crap for not having very good aero. Guess what doesn't matter this week? Aero. The short tracks, aero doesn't matter. We talked about how he's got 7 top 6 finishes in the last 8 similar races. Guess what? If you're that close to the front, doesn't take that much to get over the finish line. He's looking for a win in his final year. at this point. This is about the time of the season where he started to turn it on last year. Remember, he went back-to-back, I believe, at what, Michigan and Richmond, I think, or Darlington last year. He went back-to-back races where he won. So we're going to go with Mr. Consistent in the Ford camp and get Kevin Harvick at plus 1,500 to win.
Yeah, you'll never get an argument from me when you bet Kevin Harvick. Totally agree. Again, he's a guy who can win almost any week, almost anywhere. So, yeah, I love that pick as well.
And then my last one here, we're going with a long shot. You and I, unbeknownst to each other, actually got the same long shot. It's hard to deny. We've also talked about him earlier in this podcast. It's Bubba Wallace. I have him at plus 4,000 over DK. You also have him at the same odds. They're a different book, so apparently it's an industry thing.
Yeah.
He's run top five in like five straight races, so it's really hard to see why this wouldn't work. And then again, we also talked about how Kurt Busch in the 45 finished third here last year. And then when Bubba took over the 45 last year, it didn't lose anything. In fact, he won at Kansas, I believe, right? The second different driver to pilot the same car to win at the same track. 2311 has it turned on. The Toyotas do well. Bubba is still in the mood to stick it to everybody who doesn't care, including the guys that hop on his radio and tell him he sucks. He's just been way too good for a while now not to throw some money on a 40-1.
Yeah. I'm just going to jump into it then, because that he's my long shot as well. Again, we came up with this on our own, but that's absolutely ridiculous. I found him at Superbook as well at 40-1. So obviously multiple places. Again, you said it. He's had all these top five finishes in a row. Why is he 40-1? That makes no sense. We've seen him win on a regular oval before, not just a super speedway, just a rain shortened race. So we know he can do it. He's got speed every week. He just keeps chipping away. He's not that far from getting a win. So Bubba Wallace at 40-1. That's absolutely ridiculous. I like that we both came to the same conclusion on a long shot, because this is a guy who shouldn't be anywhere near 40-1. So get in on this one early for sure, because if he qualifies anything decently, he definitely will not stay at these odds. I also have William Byron plus 700 over on MGM. I mean, will he be? Like, what else do I need to say, right? Last five races, seventh place, a fourth place, a third place, one Darlington, second place last week at Charlotte. What else do you want from this guy, right? He's the only driver with three points race wins this season, and he's just been so consistent. A guy like Larson, he's gotten a couple times to victory lane, but half the race, the last like four races, I think he's had three DNFs or something. Like, just not getting consistent finishes, not there at the end. Byron is always going to find himself there at the end. He has led a shit ton of laps recently. I think I saw, I didn't write it down, but I think it's like over 300 laps in the last five races or something like that. It's insane. He's had a rocket ship, and he's solidly established himself as one of the top drivers in this series in Hendrick equipment. The 24 car, it's no stranger to victory lane. We've seen it there plenty of times. We've seen him do it. A couple weeks ago, I said maybe we'd start to see that fall off that we saw last year. It's been the opposite. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten better. He just continues to trend upward. So even if you want to take Kyle Larson as the favorite, nobody can ever argue with you really against that at only plus 500. But if you jump down to Byron right behind him there, you're getting a little bit of better odds at plus 700. And a guy that's been so much more consistent and has had the same speed, if not better speed, than Larson has, other than at North Wilkesboro, of course. But outside of that, it's been all good for Byron here lately. So give me William Byron, plus 700 on MGM. And then Martin Truex Jr., he's going to be my other guy. Again, we've hammered on the JGR cars already today. We know they're fast. I've already talked about Truex, but third place at Charlotte, led 145 laps at Darlington, led 79 laps at Kansas, 68 laps at Dover on his way to win there. Finished sixth here last season, led 42 laps on that day. He's been strong. He's been consistent. Been loving me some Martin Truex Jr. lately. I'm glad he finally got back into victory lane so I could finally bet on him again. But at 10-1, again, I think that these JGR cars being a little bit disrespected being down in this 10-11 range. So give me Martin Truex at 10-1.
You want to hear about disrespected?
Yes.
Chase Briscoe has better odds to win than Bubba Wallace.
Oh my goodness! That
across
is...
the board, DK has Bubba plus 4,000, Briscoe no. 3,000. He's only 30-1.
They must be really leaning into thinking this is a short track, but wow!
I'm just saying, like Keselowski shorter odds than Bubba Wallace.
Damn. And Superbook too, but Alex Bowman 40-1. That might be worth looking at. That's
LaJoy has shorter odds at DK in the 9 car than Bubba has.
That's crazy.
I'm not saying that LaJoy can't win in the 9 car, but that's a serious jump.
As much as I love Corey LaJoy, we didn't talk about him anywhere on this betting episode. Listen to the DFS episode because he's likely going to come there. But
he's 7,400 on DK.
That's pretty cheap for what he's been doing in the 7 car to put him in the 9 car.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely.
More at the same price tag LaJoy's usually at. Like that tells you that they're going soft on both of them.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to be more where you play him. I couldn't find a bet on him that I really liked this week. So kind of laid off of that.
Because he's getting the 9 car odds without being Chase Elliott.
Right. Exactly.
If the top 10 were a little shorter.
Yeah, or if they had split like his top 10s in between where he normally is and where Elliott is, but they just shot him straight up to almost where Elliott would be anyways. So it's definitely not worth it.
Yeah, agreed. I looked at him too because I was like, well, LaJoy's been pretty good.
I did because I really wanted to work him in. Like everybody listens to the show regularly. They know.
He's only plus 120. I'd rather take Bowman at plus 110.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's, Bowman especially, even a guy like Buescher. I mean, there's just so many other guys in that area that I hope that Corey has a great day. I hope he wins the race. I don't see that happening.
No, I'd be more intrigued to take Almirola at plus 175 or plus 190 at Caesars for a top 10 than LaJoy.
I don't know about them Stewart Haas cars outside of Harvick, but
I don't know, man. They've got that. Remember when Harvick got accused of cheating and then he won at Phoenix and then got up and pointed to his back windshield?
That is true.
To win.
Okay, get out your pen and paper. We'll recap these bets real quickly. Matt started off with Kevin Harvick over Ross Chastain, minus 115 over on DraftKings. I had Martin Truex Jr. over Ross Chastain as well, minus 120 over on Superbook. Matt had Christopher Bell, top 5, plus 165 over on BetMGM. I had Brad Keselowski over Briscoe, minus 110 on Superbook. Came back with Alex Bowman, top 10, plus 110. The more I look at this one, the more I absolutely love that bet over on Caesars. And then I had my edge boost double down play of the day of Bubba Wallace over Chase Briscoe, minus 110 over on Superbook. Minus 110, too. That pricing on that just floors me.
Like the Stenhouse over Jones and the Wallace over Briscoe should be flipped.
Right, yeah, the minus 130. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but...
I'd take it at minus 130.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would. I'd probably take it at minus 150. But Matt had Logano top 5 plus 150 over on MGM. I had Stenhouse over Jones minus 130 on Caesars. Matt came back with his Rod play at AJ Allmendinger top 10 plus 750. I had Buescher top 10 plus 140, and my long shot of Gilliland top 10 14-1 over on Caesars. And then Matt's winning card. Hamlin 11-1 on DraftKings, Joey Logano 10-1 on MGM, Kevin Harvick 15-1 on MGM, and Bubba Wallace 40-1 on DraftKings. And for me, I had William Byron plus 700 on MGM, Truex at 10-1 on Caesars. I think that one was, or I think he's actually 10-1 like everywhere. I think that's why I didn't write. He's like 10-1 across the board. It was the weirdest thing I was looking at this week. I'm like, his odds don't really change almost everywhere. So. And then Bubba Wallace again. I agree with
it's
the.
It's 10-1. Yeah,
pretty much.
Oh, I can get you better if you go on Truex. Go 11-1 at BetMGM.
Oh, there we go. All right, I'm gonna edit that right now in the document. 11-1. That's my official pick. On MGM. There we go. Great call. I'm glad I brought you along to shop. Usually I do the shopping while Rod's talking, so I appreciate you doing the shopping while I'm talking.
Yep.
And then I agreed with you on the Bubba Wallace 40-1. I also found that on Superbook. So. Whether it's DraftKings, whether it's Superbook, make sure you get down on some Bubba Wallace this week. That's just utter, absolute disrespect on Wallace. So, got any other thoughts on this race, Matt?
It should be fun. I don't think there's any weather.
Oh, that would be nice.
It would be which would be nice. I know us here in Lincoln, we got hit with some storms today. But
yeah, so crazy story too. Matt and I actually in the same city at the moment. We both live here in Lincoln, Nebraska. So fellow Husker, we need to get together and have a beer here sometime soon because we live in the same city, but we haven't actually.
I invited you over for
I know I saw
barbecue last week.
I know I saw your Twitter and I was like, oh, what time do I need to come over? Said there was plenty. Unfortunately, we had the gymnastics that evening, so wasn't able to make it. But yeah, that looked absolutely delicious. So we do need to get together in the near future for a beer for sure.
Yeah, we should. Not tonight. I got softball, so hopefully my daughter does not wind up at the ER. Man.
Yeah, watch out. My daughter 10U softball, and she got hit by a pitch in the foot and chipped the bone in her ankle. Like, yeah, that girl was throwing. She wasn't very accurate.
She's 9, so she's doing pitch for the first time. She's pitching to start the game. Luckily, she's got a catcher's mask.
Yeah.
Hopefully, the reaction is good enough to to keep from being hit, but we'll see.
There you go. But yeah, watch out, dang. But yeah, looking at the weather too, gonna be 93 and sunny on Sunday.
Hey, by the way, Bubba's going off at +450 for a top five on DK.
Wow, that's we're gonna add that actually as an official play. I'm gonna add that into the show as the bonus of the day. What'd you say? +450 for a top five
at DK? Yeah.
Wow. Dang. All right, I'm taking it right now.
And Briscoe, by the way, is still ahead of him on that one too.
Oh man, that's insane. Dang. Okay, well, I think that's about all we got for you today. So, if you want to tell people where they can follow you, plug anything you got going on, I know you're a busy guy. So, let the people know where they can find you.
Yeah. So, my Twitter handle is there on the screen at the salesman on the old Twitter machine. My stuff is up at fantasyalarm.com. Usually I have, you know, podcasts up following practice and qualifying, playbooks, you know, top DFS plays. I have free betting pieces over at pickswise.com for not only NASCAR, but also F1, which there is a F1 Spanish GP this weekend. Where else can you find me? You can find me all over. I'm grilling on Twitter.
I'm gonna be at Matt's house here soon for the grill. Yeah,
my a colleague of mine, we have a grill versus grill video that we put up, a short on YouTube where we each grill something for the week and we make a prop pick, and then the winner at the end of the year donates to the other one's charity of choice.
Okay.
I am up 2-0 in that one, thanks to Kyle Busch falling back one spot last week. We both, unbeknownst to each other, took RCR teammates. I took Austin Dillon for a top 10. He took Kyle Busch for a top 5. And I was sweating it because Austin Dillon was sitting like 14th for a while.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Busch, thanks to the tangle there with Ricky Stenhouse, fell back some spots. And Austin Dillon snuck into the top 10. So
nice.
He also did not care about losing because he's a Blaney fan. So
that makes things a lot easier when you
Blaney winning like helps things
washes out the bad bets when your favorite guy wins.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where you can find all of my stuff throughout the NASCAR season.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I greatly appreciate you joining me today, stepping in. Of course, we miss Rod, but he'll be back next week. You want to catch Rod, you can go listen to the F1 Gambling Podcast. He was around when we recorded that. You can check out all my work on Twitter at Husker_Zeeb. I have a USFL futures piece out over there looking at breaking down the odds for the championship winner there. They're about headed into week 8. I think they've got 3 weeks left in the regular season. I have an F1 article out for the Spanish GP as well. NASCAR article coming out here soon as well. So check all that stuff out. Follow the show as well at NASCAR Gambling. I don't really remember how else Rod ends the show, so I'm going to do it my own way, but thanks for joining. Go place your bets. Let's go racing and let it ride.